Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello again, Dr. Looper.
Hello.
Well, last conversation we discussed was on leukemia, and we had so much to cover on that. We were just at the end of talking on treatments and how you help support different treatments that they may be going with their oncologist. Do you have any more thoughts to wrap up on that end?
No, let's just jump into lymphoma.
Okay.
So leukemia and lymphoma are closely related. They're both cancers. They're both cancers of blood cells, particularly white blood cells. And leukemia is the blood cells that live in the marrow, because that's where blood cells start. Is most white blood cells, in fact, all the white blood cells start in bone marrow. They come from stem cells, and then they divide, and then they mature, and they go through various stages. Eventually, they get mature enough to get out into the bloodstream. They exit the bone marrow, float around, and do whatever they're going to do. Some of them live 2-3 days. Some of them live for your lifetime, depending on what kind of white blood cell they are. The problem with cancer is the cells don't die. They don't easily die. They last too long. They pile up. And they start taking resources. They move into places where they shouldn't be. They start taking over stuff. And so you end up getting sick from being taken over by these cells inappropriately.
Okay.
Okay. So lymphoma is very closely related. It's the same kind of cells. We're talking about white blood cells. But instead of hanging out in the bone marrow or starting in the bone marrow, what they do is they start in the lymph nodes. So lymph nodes are places for white blood cells to hang out. And the lymph nodes have blood or lymph, mostly on the lymph, depending on where they're at. Blood is where the spleen goes, blood. I have to simplify. Let me keep it simple. All the fluids in your body need to be checked over by white blood cells in case there's some sort of infection.
Okay.
Some sort of virus, some sort of bacteria, some sort of parasite, worm, bug, whatever, something like that. And so the system's set up for your blood to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Fondled might be a better word. As the blood goes through, the white blood cells get to touch it,
yeah.
Right? They get to feel everything as it goes through and make sure they're on top of it.
Yeah.
And so the lymph nodes are where that happens. They're these little areas where the white blood cells are concentrated, and they get to touch all the fluid that goes by. Occasionally, they go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they do what cancer does, which is they grow and they don't die. Now, all of our cells grow. I mean, that's how our cells got to be what they are. They started as one cell and turned into 2 and turned into 4 and turned into 8 and so on and so forth. Eventually, you grow a person, right? And there needs to be cells that come and replace the old cells. And they come in and take and replace.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't grow too much. They grow just the right amount, unless you're cancer. And those cells don't follow the rules. They grow too much. And they grow enough where they take over the area. And now the whole system breaks down because it's taken over.
Yeah.
With lymphoma, the cells grow inside the lymph glands, and they grow and grow and grow, and they don't die. And what you get is a swollen lymph node.
Do they create tumors in the
That's
lymph nodes?
You could call it a tumor of sorts. It's not there's a technical solid tumor as opposed to another. So I wouldn't say by definition it's a tumor,
okay.
But you can't hardly tell the difference. It's a lump
yeah.
that you can feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now the question that you should be thinking is, I got this swollen lymph node. It's like over here. I can feel it. It kind of hurts sometimes. This is lymphoma. And the answer is no. It's not. Probably. The chances that a lymph node is actually lymphoma is less than 1%. So every lymph node that you've had that's been big, none of those have been lymphoma.
Okay.
Except for occasionally it's lymphoma.
Okay, so how do you tell the difference?
Yeah, it's not easy.
Okay.
So they feel the same. They're a lump. They really are just like every other...
A lump, like a pronounced lump, like not just swollen, not just tender.
Sometimes they're just swollen and they're subtle and that's all you get.
Okay.
You get this little teeny thing, not a pronounced lump. Now, it can be a pronounced lump, but it often is not.
Okay.
Okay. So how can you tell?
Well, blood work tells.
No, blood work will give you an idea, but it will not tell. Blood work does not tell. So with lymphoma, what you get is a suspicious lymph node that's been there too long. Now, lymph nodes doing their normal job will get bigger because they fill up full of white blood cells that are sorting through your blood because there's an infection upstream, and they're cleaning out the infection that's coming from your sinus or your little toe or your whatever it is that's infected further down up the line, and they're cleaning up the mess from that, making sure the infection doesn't spread to the rest of your body. So they're going to swell, and they're going to be tender, and you're going to feel it, and you're going to know it's there. I see these, I feel them in people's necks all the time because they have some sort of cold or sinus problem or earache or something like that. And downstream from wherever that problem is, the lymph nodes swell and do their job. So there's nothing to be done about those. Just let them do their job and their swelling eventually goes away. It may take a while, depending if it's a chronic infection, it may be months even, but most of the time it clears up. Okay, so that's not lymphoma. But if it persists, that is, if you get a lymph node that persists, it's suspicious. Now, the lymph nodes are full of white blood cells, and those white blood cells are full of packets of poison that they use to do their job. And so if you get lots of these white blood cells all piled up tight and you give them a jiggle, they tend to pop these little packets of poison. And so you feel funny, you feel fluey, you feel weird. So a side effect of lymphoma is for you to get night sweats. Because a lot of times this will happen at night. Or fevers. Same story, you're just getting too many of these chemicals. And once the chemicals are released, they tend to cause more chemicals to release. It's called a cascade. The more that's released, the more that it tends to release, the more it tends to release, the more it's released, and you go into fevers, and you do this fever thing.
And maybe it's a fever thing for weeks on end?
Not necessarily, for a few days usually.
Okay.
Like a flu cycle.
Okay.
Typically 3 days, 4 days, somewhere around there. So you get a swollen lymph node, you get night sweats, maybe. You get fevers, maybe. You get weight loss, maybe. That's because your metabolism is increasing, your appetite's decreased, because basically you have the flu.
Well, your internal temperature is heated, so I'm sure your metabolism is increased,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you're burning more calories.
Yeah.
Yep, for all those reasons. Now, if you have all of those things, night sweats, fevers, achiness, malaise, that's where you're tired and achy, and a swollen lymph node, you got to go get it checked. You have to go to the doctor and get checked for lymphoma.
Okay. And so if that is reoccurring within a few months, if you keep getting this flu-like symptom, if you keep getting these night sweats, if you keep getting these fevers more regularly than you should, like, because people experience the flu maybe twice a year, maybe once a year.
Yeah, right.
But if it's happening, like, 3 to 4 times a year...
Yeah, so let me tell you a story. So let's just, for the the honest openness, is I have lymphoma right now. Yep. I've had lymphoma for 3 years. I got the diagnosis about 3 years ago. And how it started for me was I got the flu. And normal flu, felt, you know, flu-y, went home, laid on the couch, ate chicken soup, and just did the flu thing, and then I got better after 3 days, and then I came back to work. 3 weeks later, I got the flu again, and I thought, that's weird. And then I did the same routine. 3 weeks later after that, I got the flu again, and I said, this is not the flu. This has got to be something else. And I had a swollen lymph node at the time. The first thing that popped in my mind is, this is lymphoma.
Did the lymph node stay swollen?
Yes.
Even between the flu? Okay.
Swollen the whole time.
Okay.
Wasn't painful, didn't hurt, didn't do anything. So I know from being a doctor that the chances of my swollen lymph node is actually lymphoma is 1 in 100 in my situation. And so I'd recently been traveling in India, so I assume I must have picked up some kind of bug in India. So I did a whole bunch of tests for malaria and dengue fever and a bunch of other stuff, and it all came out negative. The thing that came out positive, though, was there's a marker of inflammation in our blood, and that came up high. It wasn't super high. It's a C-reactive protein. It should be less than 3. Mine was like 6 or something like that. So there was some kind of inflammatory problem. The problem is just about anything will cause that to go up.
Where from the C-reactive protein do you go in testing to figure out?
So usually you want to look at maybe see if someone has anemia. That might show up as well. You know, what I did was I remember the old adage, the doctor who treats himself has a fool for a patient. Uh-huh. And so I thought, look, I need to go get an actual doctor. So I thought about who was the best doctor I know in town, and I went to him. And I worked with him, and I said, what do you think, I have lymphoma? He says, no, I've seen lymphoma. You don't have lymphoma. You don't look like lymphoma. You don't have the symptoms of lymphoma. You absolutely positively don't have lymphoma. So we ran every test he could think of, and it turned out it came up negative. And I was still getting these flu every 3 weeks. So then I contacted another doctor, one in Anchorage, bigger city doctor, mm-hmm. one who knew more than anybody here in Fairbanks, I thought. Mm-hmm. And he told me the same thing. He said, you don't have lymphoma. No way.
And not to be separatist, are these MDs or
yeah.
DOs? Okay,
yeah.
They're not
MDs. Yep. Anyways, I had a patient no-show, and I had an hour, you know, free. And I thought, this is 6 months into being sick here. And
six
I thought,
months with every 3 weeks.
Yeah, every 3 weeks. Yep, every 3 weeks getting the fever, getting the flu every 3 weeks. I quit staying home. I just kept working, but I felt bad. And I was taking low-dose ibuprofen. I take mostly 200 milligrams when I was sick. And it was just enough to knock it down to allow me to work okay while I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Anyways, I had an hour, so I got one of my books out. It's right there. Harrison's Internal Medicine, and has a chapter on fevers. And so I pulled that out, read the entire chapter on fevers, especially the section on recurrent fevers. And the last entry was, and then there's the Pell-Epstein fever, where you get it lasts 3 days, and it comes every 3 weeks, and it's caused by lymphoma. And I thought, that's what I have. I have lymphoma. I know I have lymphoma for sure. So then I went and took that information to one of the local surgeons and said, hey, you need to take my lymph node out because I have lymphoma. And he argued with me. I talked to him for a half an hour. I kid you not, I argued with every doctor I ever saw because I didn't look like I had lymphoma.
How did you get the finite concrete diagnosis?
Well, I talked him into doing it eventually. At the end of the visit,
did you get your lymph node removed?
He said, I will take your lymph node out. And so he took my lymph node out. We did a lymph node biopsy. A week later, he called me, and he was like, oh, my God, you have lymphoma.
And then did you go back to your Anchorage doctor and the other doctor in town
and
say,
hey, turns out I have lymphoma. And they're going like, dang, I didn't think you had lymphoma.
Sorry, missed that. Aw. So lymph node removed.
Yeah, and so what they do is when they take the lymph node out is they'll check it for the kind of lymphoma you have.
Do they take the whole thing or just a portion?
No, they took the whole thing. And they looked for the specific type of white blood cell. And it turns out the kind of lymphoma I have, they fall in two main categories. There's Hodgkin's lymphoma and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Hodgkin's lymphoma is caused mostly by granulocytes. Remember mm-hmm. I told you there's two kinds of white blood cells? There's the ones that look granular when you look under the microscope.
Yes.
And then there's non-granular sites. Those are
the B cells and the T cells.
Yeah, B cells and T cells. Those are lymphocytes. So what they found out was Hodgkin's lymphoma is granulocytes, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is mostly agranulocytes, lymphocytes. And also the key thing with when you look under the microscope at the white blood cells, there's a particular kind of distinctive white blood cell known as a Reed-Sternberg cell. When you see that, you know it's Hodgkin's. And when you don't see that, then chances are it's not Hodgkin's. You have non-Hodgkin's. Now, that's in the old days when they just use a microscope to be able to do the diagnosis. Now they'll run it through a cell typer, and they'll look at the proteins on the outside of the cell and get a much better picture, much more distinctive, confirmed understanding of what line of cells has turned cancerous. And for me, it was my B cells. Now, lymphocytes have B cells.
So it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah, it's a follicular B, non-Hodgkin's follicular B cell lymphoma. That's the kind of lymphoma I have. And their lymphoma, like leukemia, is divided into two big categories. Not only Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's, but also acute and chronic. And some of these lymphomas are acute and they develop really fast.
Does that depend on which stage of cancer it's developed in?
Yeah, it can. Early stages tend to be less acute. Weird strains, and they get weirder as they go on. But to some extent, more you're just kind of the luck of the draw. When you do get the cancer, you just happen to get this strain. This one proceeds faster.
You pick this card.
And then this one goes slower. Mm-hmm. Now, you'd think you'd want a slower one, not a faster one. We want a slower one, right? Yeah, it's good news and bad news. The faster ones will kill you faster, but since the cell lines are more different from the regular cell lines, they're easier to treat with chemo and radiation. And the slow lines, the cells are more normal, and so they're harder to differentiate between the cancer cells and regular cells because they're almost the same. And so the chemo doesn't really work as well. And so what you get with my type of lymphoma is the chemo will work twice.
Okay.
Now, chemo will knock down the white blood cell count, mm-hmm, and make you feel normal again, and it'll last for a while. A few months if you're unlucky, a few years if you're lucky, maybe a decade if you're really lucky, but eventually the cancer comes back, and then you get to do it again, and it doesn't work as well
as
the first time.
Does it come back stronger?
No.
Okay.
It comes back the same. Okay. Same symptoms. Night sweats, fevers, achiness, feeling like you have the flu every 3 weeks or
and
5 weeks.
And you, 3 years in at this point, haven't done chemo yet.
I've done no chemo.
Just the lymph node removal.
Yeah, I did the lymph node removal to get a diagnosis. Now, once you get the diagnosis, you have to figure out how bad it is. If you have one isolated lymph node, it's stage one. If you have several lymph nodes, but they're all on one side of your diaphragm or the other, you have stage two. If the lymph nodes are on both sides of your diaphragm, you have stage three. If they're in other tissues, you have stage four. I had stage four on steroids. I had so much cancer, you can hardly believe. Not only was it in my lymph nodes, it was all in my bones.
Prior to you coming down with these night sweats and these every three week cold, had you had symptoms before?
No, I had nothing. Zero.
Just one day.
Yeah, well, it was funny. Yeah, just one day. You wouldn't think. Why would you get it on one day? I'll tell you why. I know why. Because I got the COVID vaccine. The COVID vaccine is designed to stimulate B cells, mm-hmm, to make antibodies. That's its purpose.
Yes.
That's what it does. So I got the COVID vaccine. And then I got the booster a few months later. And I got the booster a few months later after that. And then my symptoms kicked in because my B cells were stimulated up the wazoo.
They were too stimulated.
And I had lots of them from the cancer being in my body already. So what happened is the COVID vaccine stimulated a cancer that I already had. Now, once I figured this out, being the doctor that I am, I started looking at ways to calm my B cells down. Now, I contacted all the experts in the field that I could, our local oncologist, first guy I talked to, and then he referred me to these people who all they treat is follicular B cell lymphoma in Seattle at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. And so I talked to those folks, and I also talked to some people in UC Davis in California who were doing research on my particular kind of cancer. And the consensus was not to treat because my blood tests were too normal. And that's what everybody was telling me. That's why all these other doctors said I didn't have lymphoma because my blood tests were always
normal. Is there an issue with treating at this point with, your blood work.
You think you might as well treat it now and treat it early so it doesn't grow. You got the wrong idea. Mm. This kind of cancer, you want to delay treatment. Maybe say it's like you only get to mow the lawn twice, maybe three times, right? So you don't want to mow it while it's short. You want to let it get nice and long and then take it down, right? So then you extend your lawn time. I know it's just kind of a weak analogy, but you get it?
Yeah.
You don't want to do this too often. One works great. The second one, the third one, you had about a 10% chance it's going to work. After that, none of them. You get no chemo anymore. Now you can't use chemo. What are you going to do?
You have postponed the chemo, and you've been treating with your own supplements and herbal concoctions.
So the thing about the chemo is, I have nothing against chemo. I think chemo is a godsend. I love chemo. I think chemo is one of the greatest inventions ever. Except for, you know, to use it well, I should delay it. So now, since I'm going to delay it, I'm going to try to do a bunch of stuff to stay as healthy as I can so that I can delay it for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. As much as time as I can get. Whatever years I can get before I start chemo, those are free years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or months, even, if that's the case. So what I started doing is taking stuff to calm my B cells down. And they're straightforward stuff. It's not like it's hard to figure out. I started doing mushroom extracts, reishi mushroom. Mm-hmm. I did glycyrrhiza, which is licorice root. Mm-hmm. I did curcumin, and it worked beautifully. Mm-hmm. It calmed everything down. My fevers went away. My sweats went away. Weight loss, I wasn't getting much of that, but I had a little bit of it. That all went away, and I just felt like a normal person. And the other thing is, in order to see how bad the cancer was, I went and got a PET scan. Mm-hmm. That's a positron emission test, I think, whatever PET stands for. Anyways, what you do in order to get that test to work right is you drink some radioactive glucose have it injected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the cancer loves glucose. And so what the cancer does, it eats the glucose and it concentrates it.
So that glucose funnels to the cancer.
Then you go into the machine and it will show you where the glucose is gone, mm-hmm. and you light up like a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly how I could find out where my cancer was, exactly in my bones, the exact spots it was in. I was doing the treatments and feeling pretty good. And then I was just curious, I mean, how's all this working? Actually, before I get to that, let me say, once I got that scan done, I started thinking. I thought, they used glucose to find out where my cancer is. So if I eat glucose, I'm feeding my cancer.
Yeah.
What if I quit eating glucose?
What if?
Or sugar of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
What if I even go and try to block my sugar metabolism? Because I could do that. Berberine will do it,
mm-hmm.
right? I could take berberine.
Or Mahonia.
So I did a bunch of research. Long story short, I take a concoction that has 13 different ingredients.
You formulated a phase one.
That's only phase one.
And a phase two.
Yeah, because there's the kill phase. There's the start phase and the kill phase. And then I also take, 10 other supplements.
Cordyceps.
All kinds of stuff. I mean, we're not doing the show on my treatment. We could do that later if we want. But I take a bunch of stuff, and by golly, it's working.
And so fabulous. You recently had another PET scan.
Yeah, I got another PET scan.
After falling off your tree fort.
Yeah, let's not tell the whole story. I broke my back. There's that. But I only broke it slightly.
Just fractured.
Compression fracture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never had a cast. I got some pain. I went and got the PET scan follow-up. About 2 years. And it showed that my cancer had decreased, oddly enough, 60%. I still had 40% of my cancer. I still had some knots of cancer, and I could kind of feel where they were.
Did they move at all?
No, they're exactly the same spots they were before. One over here where my lymph node was in my pelvis, another one in the middle of my back.
Okay.
And I could, literally, I know where they were because I could feel it. Because
mm-hmm.
they feel funny. And I move a certain position, I could feel a twinge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I keep doing my stuff. And at this point, I'm doing better than I was back in December when I had the PET scan. To the point where I really can't feel the cancer. I just can't feel it. It's got to be in me. It doesn't go away, but it's shrinking. and it seems to be doing okay. I mean, knock on wood, I want to keep doing what I'm doing and keep doing and feeling good. I had to quit exercising because every time I exercise, I'd flare.
Mm-hmm.
Doing vigorous exercise made my white blood cells kind of leak, and then I'd go into a fever. And so I had to quit exercising for, you know, 2.5 years. But this spring, since I got the PET scan, I started exercising again, tentatively, because I was really afraid to get flared. But now the tentative is gone now. I exercise like a fiend. I ride my bike intensely. We just got back from Spain. We rode bikes in the Pyrenees, my family and I. And I feel great. I feel 100% great. So it's interesting, this lymphoma thing. And it's like, let me get the punchline here, because I can tell you, give me the look like we're running out of time. Is that what you do is you think about what's going on, you know, as deep as you can, what the physiology of the cancer is, what causes it to grow, what causes it to shrink, what causes it to, you know, do whatever it does. And then you manipulate that by doing various things. Now, there's a common element to cancer.
By starving some things, feeding others.
Right. Cancer generally, and there's exceptions to this, but cancer generally likes sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Prostate cancer is an exception. Prostate cancer likes protein more. But regular cancer likes sugar. So you starve yourself of sugar. I mean, it's not easy. I had to quit eating potato chips and bread and rice and those kinds of things. I had to carry a glucose monitor around and find every time my blood sugars went high and not do that. That's how I ended up figuring out how to live, is by glucose monitoring my life and making adjustments to it. But I mean, come on, this is, you know, cancer. You got to treat it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. My life's on the line. I want to do it right. You know, I got a lovely family and a young son, and I've got to stick around. I mean, it's required. So I engage. And that's a main part of how well you do with cancer, is your willingness to work, your willingness to engage, your willingness to do the kinds of things that move the dial in the right direction. Some of it's subtle, some of it's not so subtle. And again, I got nothing against chemo. If and when the time comes, for a long time I just said when the time comes. I'm feeling so great now, I'm sorry I have to put the word if.
Right.
Maybe I'll be a freak of nature, but if and when the time comes that I need chemo, I'll do it. But until I get to that point, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'll know when I get to that point because I'll be able to feel it. And the blood tests will show. It turns out there's an LDH test, lactate dehydrogenase. That test goes up high. That's what the people at Fred Hutch told me. They said, your normal numbers run between about 150 and 220. And my numbers at that point were like 230.
Okay.
So they're pretty close to normal, slightly elevated. And she said, look, don't talk to us until you get to 1,000. And so I thought, great. So I'm just going to do whatever I can. Last time I ran them, I was running around 160, well within the normal range. All the other numbers have all gone up to normal. Every single thing that ever was out of range, my C-reactive protein, has all went to normal. So, I mean, following the blood tests, everything's hunky-dory, and everything's stable. So I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing.
Remarkable. You're helping so many patients in the clinic who suffer from the same. And I'm sure you're helping lots of people out there who are listening to this.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, by getting cancer, I know a lot more about cancer now. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
I do know. I took a way deeper dive into this. Man, I have a general practice.
Yeah.
I treat all kinds of stuff, you know, from acne to,
And I wouldn't think prior to recent years that many people would go to a naturopath for their cancer care.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I've been here working in Fairbanks for about 25 years. And, you know, words out on the street. I mean, people just talk with each other. And the chance of someone surviving their cancer treatment goes way up if they come in and talk to me. Again, not because I know anything other people don't know. It's just I'm willing to put the time into it, run the test, do the deep dive.
Yep.
Same I did with myself. I just do it to everybody else, too. And figure out what's going on and come in at the most lowest level, most causative level, and then make whatever repairs we can down that level. And then, you know, keep our fingers crossed that everything goes in the right direction. And often it does, more often than not.
Yeah. We have good success. We have been.
For sure.
Well, thank you. I think that is about all the time we have today.
Thanks, Haley.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.